Most people are not content on just buying a home. Maybe they are initially, but everybody that buys a home, unless it's brand spanking new, everyone that buys a home always has an idea of what they would like to do to it. Yes? A little bit of colour here, a little bit of colour there, completely redesign the kitchen, shift some walls, move some things around. Most people are not content to just buy a home, move it into the home and just living in the home. Sooner or later, they're going to want to decorate the home, renovate the home, add their flavour to it, create their own vibe to their home, whatever that means. You know, new floors, new paint, new kitchen, bathroom, all sorts of changes. Why? Because usually we're not just content just to move in. Is anybody like that out here? Does anybody have someone that they're married to that likes to change things on a regular basis? We're not content to just buy a home, move into the home, live in the home. We usually want to decorate the home. So here's my question for you. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is just content to move into your life? Is God content to just purchase your life and just move into your life? Or is he like us and looks to move in, decorate, renovate, and put his own touches on our lives? I believe the Holy Spirit is completely committed to renovating you once he moves into you. See, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. The Holy Spirit is not content just to move in. He will move in, and then he wants to redecorate, renovate, and put his own touches. How do I know that? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, very famous verse, if you've been a Christian long time, says this: don't you realize that your body is the temple or the house of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. In other words, he's saying here that God purchased us on the cross. He paid for you with his body and his blood that was shed and bled on the cross. He purchased us, and then it says that the Holy Spirit moves into us, and now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not just ordinary people. Once you become a follower of Christ, once you believe in him, there's nothing ordinary about you. You become the home, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He moves in. I don't know about you, but I wish I realized that when I gave my life to Christ, because I would have got a cleaner to come in before he shifted in. Because, you know, there's probably some cleaning that needed to be done first. It was pretty messy when he shifted in, but the Holy Spirit doesn't mind the mess. The Holy Spirit loves to shift into our lives. It's his home. Once we give our life to Christ, we become the home, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he moves in. But he is not content just to move in. He wants to redecorate, renovate, because now he's moved in, he's going to redecorate you. He's not content just to live in you. He wants to help you become all that you were created to be. Become the best who you are meant to be. He wants to redecorate you and make you more and more like him. Why? Because the goal of our lives is to become more and more like Christ. That we are meant to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. We are meant to become more and more like him. I think one of the most inspiring verses in all of Scripture is where Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What a powerful Scripture that he's saying, I'm renovating my life in the image of him. I'm going to imitate him. Everything I do is going to be imitating him. And if you don't have a personal relationship with him, then just imitate what I imitate and you'll find him in that process. Paul is really saying here is that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit and everything about my life is going to be imitating him, be more and more like him. The problem with redecorating is that sometimes it's painful, yeah? It's painful. Sometimes the walls need to be moved, the floors need to be ripped up. You know, a lot of the time it's not just a paint job. It's not just a lick and a promise, right? It's not just a paint job. It kind of doesn't do it. I remember when we, our first home that we owned, it was a 1950s older home, and we wanted to renovate the bathroom because it was, you know, because it just wasn't very nice, you know, older homes like that. And a good friend of ours was a builder, a guy called Paul Miller, and he says, "I'll help you out." And he came over, and I did all the demolition, because I'm good at demolition. Just ripping stuff off walls. Love it. Don't ask me to put stuff back up on the walls, but I can rip stuff off the walls. But as he went through, you know, older home, it was all out of whack. You know, it wasn't square, and he's having to do all these fiddly things and put extra bits of wood in place and everything to get it all square and get it all flush. Why? Because it's not just rip something off and put something on, but the structure of the home had to be sorted out a little bit so everything could be square and everything could be flush, so that when we renovated, when we put the new stuff on, it didn't break and it didn't crack. And can I just suggest this to you, that if the areas of your life are cracking, it's not because the walls are the problem, it's because the foundation is the problem. And every home that has cracks and stuff in the ceiling and where the house is moved, it's a foundation problem, not a wall problem. And sometimes we can be so focused on the cracks of our walls that we don't realize that we just need to fix the foundation of our life. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and he wants to renovate you, but it's not always comfortable, right? It's not painless. There are some things that God puts his finger on, the Holy Spirit puts his finger on, and just like when you're renovating a home, sometimes it costs. Sometimes there's something to it, but it's a good thing. In fact, Jesus hung out with the disciples a lot, as we know, you know, for 3 odd years. But it's not until John chapter 14 that Jesus starts to teach the disciples about the Holy Spirit, who he is, talking about, "I will be gone one day and I'll send to you the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the one who walks alongside, the one who's going to guide you." And through chapter 14, 15, and 16, he's teaching them about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and why it's important that they have a relationship with him. And he starts talking about himself in the middle of that. There's this really piece of scripture in the middle of him talking about the Holy Spirit, right sandwiched in the middle of him teaching them about the Holy Spirit. Jesus starts talking about him being the vine and we are the branches. And it kind of seems weird that in the middle of this teaching about the Holy Spirit, that in the middle of it, he starts talking about himself as a vine. And so I want to show you today that the reason why Jesus starts talking about him being the vine in the middle of his teaching to the disciples about the Holy Spirit is because the way to let the Holy Spirit move in and redecorate your life is the same as being connected to the vine. That right in the middle of him talking about what the Holy Spirit's going to do, he says, "Hey, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit." Why is that? Because this is the way we get the Holy Spirit not just to move in, but to redecorate our lives. He's showing us in the middle, sandwiched in the middle of this teaching about the Holy Spirit, this is how to get the Holy Spirit to produce in your life. Being connected to the vine is only possible because the Holy Spirit has moved in. Look at this in John. We'll read this 8 verses. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8 says this, Jesus speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." What's nothing in the Greek? Nothing. You can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Jesus says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's making it really clear what the roles are. I'm the vine, I do the vine thing, you do the branch thing. This is our role, this is what we do. It's very clear here that branches actually don't make fruit happen. Did you realize that? It's not the branches that produce fruit, it's the vine that produces fruit. I don't think you heard me. The vine produces fruit. The fruit just appears on the branches to be carried by the branches. The branches don't produce fruit. The branches hold fruit that is produced by the vine. That's why he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because if you're not in the vine, then you can't be a branch that bears fruit, because branches don't produce fruit. Fruit will appear in your life, but you're not the one that makes the fruit happen. You're just the one that holds the fruit. I don't think you're hearing me, because we think we produce fruit. That if I do this, this, and this, and I tick all my boxes, and I go to church on Sunday, and I give, and I da-da-da-da-da, then I'm going to start to produce. No, no, no. You can't hear me. Really, really clearly, you can't produce fruit. You're not the vine. You're just the branch. But the branches carry the fruit that the vine produces as long as the branch stays connected to the vine. The vine can't show the world the fruit if the branches are disconnected from the vine. For some reason, the vine decided that you and me, the branches, would be the one that display the fruit of what he produces. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in your life. And in vineyards, they will cut the vines back. And they'll throw the vines into a pile because why? Because the branches into a pile, why? Because the branches aren't the vine. The branches don't produce anything. The only way branches have fruit is if they stay connected to the vine, right? And it's the same with us. The only way that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit is that we stay connected to the vine. You see, he says, God the Father is the gardener and he wants more fruit in your life. Like, even if you're producing fruit now and you're like, man, I'm producing way better fruit than I did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. The problem is the gardener wants you to produce even more fruit. And the way that the gardener gets you to produce more fruit is that he prunes you back. And so this is what happens in our walk with God, is we think we're doing really, really well, and then the Holy Spirit comes along and cuts you all back, and you're like, what? And the problem with pruning is it's cutting. And we associate cutting with pain, and so we think God is doing something wrong here, or God is angry with me, or God's not happy with me. Why have I got so much pain going on in my life? When really the problem is we don't recognize pruning, because we always associate a cut with something of pain rather than something of fruitfulness. He prunes not to hurt you, but so the next season will be even more fruitful than your current season. We flick up the next slide. I got a picture for you. I used to, in my job before I was pastoring, I used to work a lot with vineyards, doing frost protection. And I can remember going down to Blenheim. Blenheim is like one of the big wine growing areas of New Zealand. And I can remember going down one time and the vines were like this. You know, the fruit was all over, and I'm like, man, that just looks so good. Like, that's pretty, right? How many people think that's pretty? Put up your hand if you think this side is pretty. Put up your hand if you think this side is pretty. This side isn't very pretty, is it? And I can remember going down once when it was like this, and the next time I went down and it was like that, and I'm like, whoa. I said to the wine grower, I said, I think your boy's got a little bit carried away with the pruning. Like, it's just stumps. It's just stumps. Like, there's pruning, and then there's like, get rid of all the branches and just go back to the stump. Like there's, that's just intense, right? And I said to him, doesn't that kill the vine? Cutting all the branches off like that and bringing it back to the stump, doesn't that kill it? Like, doesn't that really affect the vine? Isn't that way too much pruning? And the winemaker there at Delegates Wine said to me this. He said, oh, no. You have to understand, the harder we prune them back, the more stress the vine comes under, the better and juicier the fruit is in the next season. The stress on the vine produces a better crop on the branches. He cuts us back because we produce better when we're pruned. I don't think you're hearing me. He's not punishing you. He's redecorating you. Why? Because the more we are pruned, the better we taste. I don't know about you, but there's some real bitter Christians out in the world not doing us a very good service of Christianity. And when I look at bitterness flowing out of a Christian's life, I would suggest to myself that they are not allowing themselves to be pruned back, and so they've just become a branch with no fruit that's withering away and of no use to God at all. Because if they would allow themselves to be pruned back, they won't taste bitter, they'll taste better. Easy for me to say that, right? Because I don't know about you, but I'm quite happy to be a cheap $10 bottle of wine. Right? Because I don't want stress. I don't want pruning. I don't sit at home having my quiet time with God going, oh, would you prune me today? Would you just cut me back to nothing? Oh, man, I'd love it if you just prune me. No, none of us want that, right? The problem is that God wants the best for us. And what is best for us is pruning. We don't like it. But God doesn't do what you want. God does what you need. And you need to be pruned so that you can produce the fruit that you dream of and that you're believing for and all those sorts of things. You know, oh God, I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that. Oh, okay, well, I've got to prune you back so that you can produce that. He says, Jesus says, I'm the true vine. In other words, you've tried to produce fruit in your own lives, but you haven't been able to make it happen. Because outside of me, you can't do anything. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times in my life where I've tried to produce stuff. You know, like self-control. Don't put your hand up. Self-control. I wish that was not a fruit of the Spirit. I can even handle long suffering a little bit. You know, patience, you know, love. Not so bad, but self-control, it's like, man, when I'm sitting there and at the buffet table at the wedding and there's this really nice lamb and everything there, self-control? What's that? When there's three different kinds of cake, banana, vanilla, and carrot cake, you've got to have one of three. It's the Trinity, right? It's godly. Self-control goes out the window, right? I have tried in my life, and sometimes still do in my life, tried to produce the right fruit myself, and I can't make it happen. I can't accomplish it in my own ability because I am only a branch, and a branch can't produce fruit. I've got to be connected to the vine if I want to produce, right? And he says, I'll produce the fruit, you be the branches, and all you have to do, you have one job, just one job, just one job. I'll produce all the fruit, you have one job, just stay connected. Stay in me, stay remain in me. Remain in me, just stay connected. Oh, but things aren't happening quick enough in my life that I want to see. I'm not seeing some of the things that I want to see produced in my life. Yep, just stay connected, just stay remaining, because you definitely won't see it if you disconnect. Just remain, just hang in there. If you don't stay connected to me, he says, you won't be able to do anything, period. It's not, you won't be able to do anything, comma, maybe this and that. It's like anything. And some of you might be like, well, I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure I believe that, because I've done lots of things apart from God. I've done all sorts of things. I've built a business. I've raised a family. I've hit some goals for my life, all without God. And if you look at my life, some of you might say, look at my life, I've done a bunch of things apart from God. I've done all sorts of things apart from God. And God would say, probably to you, yes, you have. But all those things in the end are absolutely nothing. As Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, it's all pointless. It's all pointless. It's all wood, hail, and stubble. It all gets burned up in the end. It's of no importance. The things in our lives that we do apart from being connected to God, apart from being connected to the vine, turn out to be absolutely nothing. Nothing. You built a business, great. See how that goes when you face him in heaven. I built a business. He won't care. He'll want to know, were you in relationship with him? Did you use the gifts that he gave you for his purposes? He doesn't care that you built a business. He cares what you did with what he gave you. And he gave you that business. Did you use it for his kingdom, or did you use it for yourself? He gave you an incredible singing voice. Did you use it for the kingdom, or did you use it for yourself? He gave you an ability to play instruments. Did you use it for the kingdom, or did you use it for yourself? He gave you an ability to be a phenomenal barista. Did you use it for the kingdom, or did you use it for yourself? Are you hearing me today? Jesus says, you are the branch. I am the vine. And the branch has one job and one job only, and that's to remain in me, stay connected to me, because if you stay connected to me, there will be much fruit in your life. And friend, this is how the Holy Spirit moves in, and this is how the Holy Spirit redecorates you as you stay connected to the vine. And this passage of Scripture is surrounded by teaching on the Holy Spirit, because the only way that you can stay connected to the vine is via the Holy Spirit, because he will lead you into all truth. He will guide you. He will help you. He will make sure that you stay connected, because he understands for you to produce the fruit that you need to produce, he needs you connected. When you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves into your life, and because he lives in you, you can now stay connected to the vine, and the Spirit is the one who produces the fruit. Look at this, Galatians 5:22, another famous scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces it? Come on, who produces it? Do you produce it? No. Is this the kind of fruit you want in your life? And how do we get it to be produced? By staying connected so that the Holy Spirit can produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's the thing. If you want the fruit in your life, stay connected to the vine. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because whose fruit is it? It's the Spirit's fruit that is producing. It's not your fruit. It's the vine's fruit. You're the branches. You're just fruit holders. And it's His fruit. And it's by staying connected to Him and staying in step with the Holy Spirit that you get the privilege of bearing the fruit for the world to see. But you can't produce it if you're not connected. The Holy Spirit cannot bear fruit in your life if you're not connected to the vine. To enjoy spiritual fruit, you've got to stay connected to the root. You can't produce it any other way. So Craig, how do we stay in step with the Holy Spirit then? How do we stay connected to this vine? I'm just going to about share just three things. It's not everything, but just three things that you can do that will help you to remain in Him, to stay in step with the Spirit so that you can see the Spirit produce this fruit in your life. And as soon as I share the first one, some of you are going to switch off straight away because you've heard it 1,000 times. And the reason why you've heard it 1,000 times is because we don't do it. First way we stay is inward. You remain through prayer and Bible reading. You remain through prayer and Bible reading. The number one way for you to be redecorated by the Spirit, become more and more like Him, is through the Scriptures. Why? Because it's not about you so much reading the Scriptures, it's about the Scriptures reading you. And the Holy Spirit puts His finger on things, and the Spirit of God takes those words on those pages and applies them to you and your life. And if you don't believe that Bible reading really, really matters, I want you to check out this video clip. We've got a video clip, and we need volume from the start, but I want you to hear what they say about the importance of reading your Bible.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement.
Turn it up a bit, mate.
Where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now at three times a week, there was a blip on the map, like there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
four
Bible.
Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about, is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
And you don't think reading your Bible matters? Or you are sick to death of pastors telling you to do it? Because it will change your life, because it produces fruit, because it causes you to remain. And when you remain in the vine, it produces the fruit. I think that's amazing. Fruit happens in your life as you throw yourself into the scriptures. I am a better husband. I am a better father. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better friend when I'm in the word, when I'm in the scriptures. Why? Because it produces fruit on my branches. It connects me to the vine and it keeps me in step with the Holy Spirit. So to produce fruit, stay connected to the root. So there's an internal way that we do things. There's an outward way that we do things. There's an outward thing that we do that causes us to remain. We remain through serving and giving. Well, how am I being connected to Jesus, to the Spirit, when I'm pouring out, when I'm giving out all the time? How is that being connected? How can I receive from the Spirit when I'm constantly pouring out of my life? Well, here's the thing. When you pour out and give, you put yourself into a posture where you need Him, and so you receive from Him. When you are giving out all the time, it puts you into a posture where you need Him. I need you to come and fill me again, God. I need you to come through for me. I need you. So it puts you in a posture where you actually need Him and you can start to receive from Him. When you pour out, when you give, it puts you in a position where you are at a disadvantage because you have less than what you had. Are you hearing me? You had this much money, now you only have this much. But it puts you in a position where you are now relying on and trusting God to make up the difference. And God is a God that always makes up the difference. It's what He loves to do the best, because it makes us reliant on Him instead of ourselves. We remain when we serve and we give because we're saying, I'm relying on you. I'm staying connected. If I lose this connection, I have no way of knowing how my disadvantage can be made up. Puts you in a position where you're now relying on and trusting God to make up the difference. And He fills you with joy and peace. And you get reminded of His generosity towards you. And when you place yourself in a vulnerable place. Because God comes and He does stuff and you're like, oh man, yeah, God loves me. Oh, God's for me. But you stay connected to the vine. What serving and giving does is it positions you where you need Him. And that causes you to be connected to Him. I never want to be in a place where I get up on this platform and I'm just like, I've got this sussed. I got it sorted. It'd be the scariest place that I could ever be. I must be reliant on Him. Because God doesn't turn up when you're self-reliant. Turns up when you're spirit-reliant. The third way is communal. You remain through worship and biblical community. If I can just get someone to jump on the keys, that would be cool. We remain through worship and biblical community. Your faith is not an individual faith. It's a communal faith. Jesus said this, He says, I'm coming back for the church. For the bride, and coming back for the ecclesia. Nowhere in Scripture does He say, I'm coming back for the Christian. Because a Christian alone is not the church. We become the church when we gather in biblical community. And biblical community, this might hurt a little bit as I say this, biblical community is not about the church providing a group of people with your kind of same likes and same needs, and it's a social club so that you feel like you belong. That's not biblical community. I know that we've made that what church is. Well, I need somewhere to belong. I need a group that fits with my needs. I need to feel like I belong. That's not biblical community. Biblical community is when we come together in worship and prayer and the word. When we come around the Lord's table, that's biblical community. Biblical community is not, I have a need and so I need you to meet it. Biblical community is, I have gifts and talents and I need to sow it so that you can receive it. Because, and I might really upset some of you this morning, but that's okay. You'll survive or you'll leave or something, but we'll still be here. Biblical community is not me chasing you. Don't care. Nobody rings me. You ring someone. If you are drowning in the ocean, the lifesaver doesn't know to save you if you keep your hands by your side. Jesus said, come, follow me. He didn't say, hey, I'll follow you. I'll follow you around, make sure all your needs are taken care of. No, he says, come, follow me. Why? Because he knows that if you remain in him, then all the needs you have will be met by the fruit that gets produced in your life. You have unforgiveness in your life because you're not remaining in him. And if you remain in him, you'll produce the fruit of forgiveness. If you remain in him, you'll find that there's healing there. It's not fair that trauma happened to you, but it is your responsibility to be healed from it. It's not everybody else's responsibility for you to be healed. It's yours. You're going to take authority over your own life and go, you know what? I need to be healed, so I'm going to remain in him. I'm not going to leave the church because people haven't done what I expect them to do. I'm going to stay because I need to be connected to community, biblical community, because that's how I remain. And I need the fruit in my life. The worst, I'm really going in a bad place here, but the worst Christians out there are offended Christians. You are the worst display of what God is like. Because you spend your whole time criticizing his bride instead of being connected to it. I better stop. It's not an individual faith, it's a communal faith. Can't do this on your own. You have to be in community. The first time the Holy Spirit came and fell on people was what? Was it an individual? No. It was in a room of 120 people. You know what? You know what the crazy thing is? If you look it up on Google, 120 people are considered a community. It's not a coincidence that it was 120 people in the room, because God's trying to show us that the Holy Spirit moves in community. Biblical community. On that day, the Holy Spirit created a new community called the church, and he fell on them that day. And the Holy Spirit falls on us, works on us, redecorates us when we are in community together. And it's not the perfect community, because I'm part of it for starters. And I'm not perfect. And you're part of it and you're not perfect. And sometimes we're going to hurt each other. Sometimes we're going to rub up wrongly against each other. Sometimes you're right, you haven't been cared for the way that you should be cared for. But we're not perfect, but we're still the community that you need to remain in. Because you won't see the fruit in your life outside of it. Take the pressure off yourself to stay connected. Just be connected. You can be connected to the vine right here, right now. The Holy Spirit is here. He can help you connect right now with the vine, because he's within us. And the Holy Spirit wants to redecorate us. And here's the thing, friend, you want to be redecorated. Oh, I'm not sure I do. Yeah, you do. You do. Why? Because on the other side of the redecorating is the better and better fruit. On the other side of the redecorating, you taste good. So what part do you play in the redecorating? What part, Craig, do I play in the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in my life and redecorating me? What part do I play? Like, what can I do? Can I do a self-help course? Can I do this course, that course? I'm not saying that courses are bad, but according to Scripture, that the way that you see the Holy Spirit redecorate your life is you just remain connected to the vine. That's it. You don't have to produce the fruit. You don't have to work somehow to make the fruit happen. You just have to stay connected. And in staying connected, the vine will automatically produce the fruit that you need, that you can carry on your branch if you stay connected. It's that easy. We just remain. We read our word, we pray, we serve, we give, and we make sure that we're in biblical community. If we do all those things, you will remain in the vine, and he will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will renovate, redecorate you, and you will produce in your life all the fruit that you are looking for, all those things that you wish you could be. It's all about being connected and remaining in the vine. And if you would do that, the Holy Spirit will do his work in you of redecorating and producing fruit on your life, so that when you walk out as branches into the world around you, people are going to say, hey, you love like other people don't love. You forgive like other people don't forgive. How come you got so much self-control in regards to your finances? And you can just turn around and say, well, the reason why my life is producing that fruit is because I've just remained connected to the vine. And you know what? You can be connected to the vine too. And you can experience that fruit in your life too. Because you won't produce it on your own, but you'll produce it if you stay connected to the vine.